And welcome to our service this morning from All Saints Fordham and 8 Ash Green for Sunday the 25th of July. Warm welcome if you're joining us here in the church and for those joining us via the internet. My name's Roy Miller, I'm a member of the church family here and I'll be leading us through our service this morning. This week is the last of our series on prayer. I'm sure that there are many things that each of us has taken away from this series. For me, one of the most helpful things has been the importance of making our prayers God-centered, rather than just a list of the things that are important to me personally. In today's final instalment, we look forward to Francis, our minister, exploring James chapter 5 with us later in the service. But first of all, Francis is going to explain how our services are changing from this Sunday.
Well, may I add my welcome to Roy. It's great to see you here this morning, and welcome if you're watching online. Great to see you. So with the government's lifting of COVID restrictions last Monday, the PCC has agreed some changes for our Sunday worship. For the first time in 16 months, we can sing God's praise together again here in the church building. And that's good news, isn't it? So I encourage you to praise God from your heart as we sing. And we're going to finish our service with a final hymn together in the churchyard, as has been our practice over the last few months. We've decided to divide the church into sections where face masks are obligatory and optional. Obviously, everyone who's here now already knows that, but I just say that for people who are watching at home. And please wear a face mask when you go into the church kitchen or use the lavatory that is through behind the kitchen. Please continue to observe social distancing and good hand hygiene, and let's make use of lateral flow tests at home. Now, I want to encourage us as a church to avoid judging each other on these issues. There's a range of views and preferences in the community, and I emailed you, and about 20 individuals and couples emailed back. So there's a range of views about what we should now do, what's appropriate. And I want to say that this is not a thing to divide over. Rather, this is a time when we want to focus on rebuilding our church community after all the difficulties of the lockdowns. Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 4 are an appropriate scripture for this time. Let me read them to you. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. So let's try not to judge others, and let's try not to feel judged as well. Let's seek to bear with one another in love. As of today, you can now find a Bible either under your seat or in the pews if you're up in the balcony. From next Sunday, we look forward to tea and coffee being served after our gathering. And this will be preferably in the churchyard, but if it's raining, drinks will be brought to you in your seats.
Let's start our service in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us to this point where we can return to something like normal worship in our church. We thank you for all who have contributed to helping keep the church running during these difficult times. For the staff in the church office, especially Rachel Gage, who has worked so hard to keep us safe at church, and for Francis and the warden's leadership. We pray that you would continue to protect us as COVID cases rise again. Thank you that we can once again sing your praises together this morning. Amen. Well, what a joy it is to be able to say, let's stand to sing together our first song, Here is Love Vast as the Ocean. Take a seat. Well, responding to that song, let's reflect on God's love for us with some words from Psalm 36. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. Well, we're now going to pray together today's collect prayer. It mentions God's never-failing providence. Another way of saying this might be his loving provision for us. God watches over us. And he provides for us. So let's pray the collect prayer together. O God, whose never-failing providence orders all things, both in heaven and earth, we humbly ask you to remove from us all hurtful things and to give us those things which are profitable to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ruth Miles will now bring us today's Bible reading.
We're reading from James You can find this in the church Bibles on page 1216, or you can find it on page 2 on the notice sheet. James chapter 5, starting to read at verse 13. The prayer of faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And we pray now in this time that you would teach us from this passage in James's letter. Teach us how to pray through troubles and sickness. Amen. So during June and July, we've been asking, praying the simple prayer, Lord, teach us to pray. And this is now the final talk in this series. I hope that you found it helpful over the weeks and it's given you fuel for your prayer life. Today we look at the subject of praying when we face troubles and sickness, which is, of course, an important topic for us during this COVID season that we're in at the moment. And our guide is going to be this passage in James's letter. It'd be good if you have your Bible open at that passage in front of you so that we can look at some of the verses together. And that's on page 1216 in the Church Bibles. I've got 4 points for this message, and there's a structure and space to take notes on page 5 if you find that helpful. My first point's the longest, and then they get progressively shorter. So let's dive in. Firstly, make prayer and praise your first priority. Make prayer and praise your first priority. Our reading begins in chapter 5, verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is any one of you happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Being in trouble is a very general phrase which can refer to many aspects of our lives. Being ill, of course. Having problems that you can't solve. Facing opposition for your Christian faith. Being bullied at school. Not having enough money, struggling in a relationship with a friend or family member. The list can go on, can't it? James says if anyone is in trouble, he should pray. And this raises the question, what is the first thing that you do when you face difficulties? According to James, we should make prayer our first priority. But do we? Often when things go wrong, it's the last thing that we do. Many of you will be familiar with the 80s song Living on a Prayer by the band Bon Jovi. The lyrics paint the picture of a couple who are struggling financially. Tommy used to work on the docks, but he's now out of work. Gina works at the diner. She dreams of running away. They're living on a prayer, i.e., things are so hard for them that prayer is all they've got. Now, the song's popular because of its uplifting chorus about sticking together and loving each other through difficult times. Take my hand, we'll make it, I swear. The expression living on a prayer gives the perspective that praying is something you only do when you have no other option. It's for poor people and needy people. Those are the kind of people who need to pray. And for many people today, prayer is something you only do as a last resort. But from James's Bible perspective, everybody should be living on a prayer. Prayer should be our first priority. It isn't just for people who can't make it on their own. It's not just for weak people. James tells us that prayer should be our first resort, not our last. We all need to live on prayer to our Heavenly Father on a daily basis. So when you or a family member are ill, what's the first thing you do? Do you go to the doctor first, or do you pray first? James says that we should pray first. Pray before making the appointment, then pray before attending the appointment. Of course we can go to the doctor, but we should pray first. And it's the same thing when things go well, when you're happy, verse 13. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Do you give praise to God when things go well? Just normal everyday things, simple things, a good meal, food in the shops, beautiful weather, a good exam result, a happy evening with friends. Do you give thanks for these things? Prayer at meal times is a simple way to integrate prayer and praise into the everyday flow of life at home. Taking just a couple of minutes to pray, either before or after the meal around the table. One of the truths that is central to James in his letter and his understanding of life is that God is in charge. God's the source of blessing. James has it in for proud people who operate like everything is in their control. He was a no-nonsense disciple, and his letter has a very direct feel about it. Some people don't like that aspect of it. Listen to chapter 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on in business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. COVID-19 has really brought this perspective home. Our country has been so well organized for the last decades that we're accustomed to being able to plan ahead with everything we want to do. But then COVID-19 hit, and suddenly our ability to make plans was restricted. The coronavirus brought nations and industries to a halt last year. Governments battling against this tiny enemy. A pandemic shows humanity that we are not in absolute control. 18 months on, and setting policy continues to be incredibly difficult for the UK government. Some businesses are now having to reduce their output because of the track and trace isolation program. So we should praise God simply because we can meet together today as a church. Praise Him for the basics. And as I said in a previous talk, the coronavirus should humble us. And this takes us back to the illustration that I used
towards the beginning of this Lord Teach Us to Pray series. Here it is on the screen. Which way round is reality? Two options, one on the left, one on the right of the picture. So in your view of reality, is humanity and human progress large and at the center, with a small God in orbit to bless our plans? Is that reality? Or is God large and central? Is God central or is humanity central? And how we answer that really affects our reading of the Bible, our whole perspective on what Christianity is and how it works and how we should live. If we think that working our way through troubles is all basically up to us, then we are big and God is small, the right-hand version. James reminds us that God is eternal, and in contrast, our life is ephemeral. We're like a mist that appears in the morning and is gone by lunchtime. That's what we are like in the perspective of eternity in our short life on earth. Now that can sound very negative, but God is good. He's a father to his people. So take your troubles and anxieties to him in prayer as first priority. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. It's a wonderful scripture, that, isn't it? And it's a wonderful privilege that we can pray in this way to our Father God. So firstly, make prayer and praise your first priority. Let's move on now to think about praying when sickness strikes. James encourages us that the God of the Bible is a God who heals the sick. He says in verse 16, pray for each other so that you may be healed. God makes sick people well. He's a God who heals. So I want to encourage you to pray to God for healing and to pray for others in your own family and in the church family when they're sick. Let's make this the first thing we do when sickness comes. God doesn't always answer our prayers for healing, but he is well able to do so, so we should pray to him. Some people say that healing and miracles stopped after the first generation of disciples died out. But I'm not aware of a biblical foundation for that view. Maybe you are. Do please come and talk to me if you know of one. Growth groups are a great place to pray. Small groups of people who can know about one another's troubles and sicknesses and pray for each other. And the care team is available for you as well. They welcome you to contact them with prayer requests. Details of how to do that are in the notice sheet. In this Bible passage, I see James encouraging a culture where we pray for one another in many different contexts. James also gives instruction for what to do when someone is very seriously ill, so ill that they can't leave their house, or they're so weak that they have to stay in bed. What do you do when you've prayed as a family, your growth group has prayed, the care team has prayed? James encourages you to call the church elders to pray over you. Verse 14, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. Call the elders of the church to pray, writes James. So who are the elders in Church of England churches? They're the people who've been ordained as ministers and then have been appointed to lead particular
congregations. In the Church of England, clergy are first ordained as a deacon, and then most will go on to be ordained a second time as a priest, also known as a presbyter. And the title presbyter has the same meaning as the word elder. Presbyter is a transliteration of the Greek word presbyteros, which simply means elder. These are the people who have oversight of congregations and have gone through a selection process so that they're suitable for a leadership role. And you may remember from the 1 Timothy teaching series that Paul gave instructions for the kind of men who should be appointed to oversee church congregations in 1 Timothy chapter 2. So in applying James 5 to our context, when someone is seriously ill, you can call me to come and pray for you. I think it's best that I don't come on my own, so I'd bring someone with me, perhaps a member of the care team, or maybe one of the wardens. It's interesting to note that James doesn't say to call someone who has a notable healing gift, as is on the gift list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Instead, it's the church leadership, the elders you are to call for. So James encourages a culture of prayer in our church, operating in lots of contexts, family, friendships, small groups. And when someone's very seriously ill, then call me to come and pray and to anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, this Bible passage has produced differences of opinion and controversy through church history, so you're welcome to come and chat further with me if you have questions about the way I've interpreted it. Now we need to drill down a bit further into James's teaching to consider what he writes about confession of sin and healing. Let's read again from verse 14. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James understood sickness to sometimes be the result of sin. And this may be an uncomfortable thought for you. Indeed, our Christian culture today is very shy of this truth. Sickness is sometimes the result of sin, and the word sometimes is important. Around this are two wrong ideas that we need to be clear about. Wrong idea number one, sickness is always caused by sin. No, verse 15 says, if he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. Sickness is not always the result of sin. Wrong idea number two, sickness is never caused by sin. Verses 15 and 16. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So we mustn't assume that sin always lies behind sickness. That would be wrong. But equally, we mustn't assume that sin is never the cause of sickness. And we see Jesus holding the same understanding with the man that he healed at the Bethesda pool. When he met the man a second time after healing him, he said in John 5:14, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The encouraging thing that James teaches is that confession of our sins can be the pathway to healing. We can be forgiven and healed. So we see that part of the remedy for physical healing is confession and forgiveness of our sins. Blessing and health come from the Lord. And in this aspect of ministry, we have something that modern medicine ignores. I'm aware this may be a new idea for you. On the basis of this passage, if you call me to come and pray for you and to anoint you with oil, I will ask you to consider if there is some sin
in your life that you're aware of, that you need to bring before the Lord in confession. I won't necessarily ask you to confess it to me. I don't think that it's helpful for me to know necessarily all your sins. And the confession of sins wasn't only to be done to the elders. Look at verse 16. James writes, confess your sins to each other. So I might suggest that you confess it to someone else, or that you pray privately on your own. I won't ever force you to confess your sins to me. And you don't need to wait until the elder arrives before you confess. Being bedridden with serious illness gives time for reflection and soul searching. Verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. This text was apparently key for the first Methodists. Their nickname, Methodist, came from the practice of gathering in small groups to minister to one another. They would practice this verse, confessing their sins in single-sex groups of just a few people. They were methodical in their practice and hence got their nickname. So James encourages us to confess our sins. Part of our practice is to do this on Sundays when we say the confession together. The confession we say in the service is technically known as the general confession. It's general, isn't it? The wording is. I encourage you to be serious about it. That's why I often allow a period of silence beforehand so that you can consider if there's anything specific that you need to confess to God. Try not to allow it to be just an empty ritual. So sickness is sometimes a result of sin. Not always, but sometimes. Confession can be part of the healing process. And finally, and more briefly, Elijah is our example of effective prayer. Verses 16 to 18. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. James gives Elijah as an example of a righteous man whose prayer was powerful and effective. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet who ministered during the time of bad King Ahab, when he ruled over Israel. Ahab worshipped foreign idols and ignored the true God of Israel, and he led the nation into forsaking God. So God sent Elijah to Ahab to prophesy no rain. Elijah prayed and it was so. James says in verse 17 that Elijah was a man just like us. Now that statement is a corrective, because many of us would assume that Elijah, being a prophet, was in a different category to us. I think that's certainly how I've seen it. He's one of the heroes of the Old Testament, and as a prophet, God gave him special powers. But James tells us he was a human being, just like us. So Elijah is an example of effective prayer and an encouragement to us to pray with faith and courage. Well, I've come to the end of this talk, and let me summarize. James's teaching on prayer and praise is important at any time, but particularly in this COVID-19 season where we face trouble and a time of sickness. In God's grace, no one has died from COVID-19 in our congregation so far. To my knowledge, the person who was the most ill from COVID was Ali Brett, and that was just a nasty flu. So let's give thanks to God for that, for our protection. I've drawn out 4 points from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. Each of us should make prayer and praise our first priority. We've looked at praying when sickness strikes. that confession of sin is sometimes an important part of a healing process. And we've looked at Elijah as our example of effective prayer. He's an encouragement to us to pray boldly. Well, let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we've asked over the last weeks that you teach us to pray. And we thank you so much that you listen to our prayers. Teach us to pray through troubles and sickness. Teach us to pray for one another in this precious church community of which you've made us a part. Teach us to make prayer and praise our first priority in the day-to-day events of our lives. Forgive us for our sins and heal us when we are sick. And we thank you that no one has died from COVID-19 in our church community. We want to thank you for the example of Elijah, and we pray that you would give us courage to pray with bold faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, what a privilege it is that we can come in prayer to God, who is faithful in good times and in difficult times. So let's stand and sing our next song, Faithful One.
So unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord. Lord of all,
faithful one, so ungentle.
Faithful one, so unchanging. Ageless one, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you.
I call out to you again and again.
I call out to you.
Please take a seat. Well, we come now to a time to confess our sins. Francis has preached about confession in the context of illness, but there are times when we all fall short of God's standards. So those verses from the passage that we read this morning. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So a few moments of reflection before we say the confession together. Let's pray together. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we come to a time to affirm our faith, and this morning we're going to use the passage from Colossians chapter 1 and to affirm our faith. So let's stand together. And we say together, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Amen. Roger Miles will now come and lead us in our prayers.
As we come to pray, some verses from Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. And yet we know from your word how much you do care for each one of us, sending your Son into our world. As Matthew 20:28 reminds us, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. With this in mind, we bring before you today our beautiful but broken world. Father, our hearts go out to the families of those who have lost loved ones in the monsoon floods in India. We pray that you'll be with those seeking to bring relief to the area. We also remember the various places in the world who are suffering badly from COVID-19, especially countries whose health systems are inadequate because of conflicts or poverty. Have mercy, we ask. We bring before you our brothers and sisters in Christ in many parts of the world who put up with hardship, persecution, and even martyrdom because of their faith. Thank you for organisations such as Barnabas Fund and Release International who bring to our attention these situations and seek to offer help and support. We pray for the Russells. We thank you for them as mission partners. We pray that you will give wisdom to Sandy at this time as he seeks to think through how to proceed with the work following the recent cutback Biblica have made to their operation in Iraq. Thank you for the contacts that Kirsten has been able to make with Kurdish women, and we pray that as they go through the discipleship course, Come Follow Me, that blind eyes may be opened. We ask that Cameron will be given patience as doctors continue to diagnose his illness and how to treat it. We pray too for Vi in Leeds and the opportunities that she has to share her faith. We ask that their holiday in Scotland next month will be a happy family time together. As we think of our own land, we want to pray for our sovereign. We thank you for her long reign over us and for her clear Christian faith. Thank you for her devoted life of service to our country. And we ask your kindness to her as she adjusts to life without her husband of so many years. We pray for our Prime Minister and the government that he leads, that you will give them wisdom and that they may govern us all with impartiality and fairness. Give them wisdom as they seek to remove many of the restrictions we have been living under, yet getting the balance of being able to protect those who are most vulnerable in our society. We thank you for the fast and efficient way the vaccines have been distributed in our land. We ask that the vaccine will prove effective in preventing the virus spreading as we adjust to living with COVID-19 and the variants of it. We pray for organisations such as the Christian Institute and Christian Concern. Thank you for the way you have gifted people who are able to support those who have been discriminated against for their Christian faith, and as they seek to maintain hard-won freedoms from being eroded by those who would love to remove the Christian heritage that our land has known for so many years. And finally, we come to ourselves. We thank you for the church family here at Fordham and Atesh Green. Help us to be encouraged in our faith and to truly care for one another. We thank you for the lifting of restrictions in how we meet together. Help us to use these freedoms wisely and in a sensitive manner to those who are feeling anxious about such things. We ask that you will be with Francis, Georgina, and Simone as they travel with a number of our young people next weekend. Keep them safe in their travels, and may their weekend at Thorpe Park and then at Woolhampton be a wonderful time together for them all. Build them in their friendships and faith, we ask. We pray for your guidance and wisdom as we seek to appoint a youth and children's worker to work alongside Francis. We thank you for the way funding was made available and ask that even now you will be preparing the one who is to come to us. We thank you for the way that we have been sustained in our finances over this difficult year and for the faithful way your church family has sought to meet our financial commitments. And we pray that you will continue to lead us as we prepare to meet the challenges of the rest of this year. Lord, we bring before you those who are unwell in our church family, particularly for Audrey Stannard and for her daughter, Susan, whose diabetes is very unstable at the moment. We remember others in the family, for John and Irene Bale, for Brian and Brenda Gant, and for John Leach. Finally, in a moment of quietness, we bring before you those who are known to us, who are going through difficult times at the moment, whether it be illness, bereavement, anxiety about the future, difficult relationship within families, perhaps situations only known to ourselves. In a moment of quiet, we bring them before you now. Lord, we pray that you will answer these our prayers, as we ask them in our name, the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to now pray the Lord's Prayer, which is on page 4 of the notice sheet. We'll pray this together, please. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Time together and some church family news. The All Saints Club and 421 Youth Group have now finished for the summer term. And we've managed to run the All Saints Club online for a whole academic year on Zoom. 421 began on Zoom in January and returned to the John Owen Barn just three sessions ago in person. So I want to say a big thank you and a well done to the team who've invested in our children and young people over the last 12 months, and also invested in young people from other churches through the 421 ministry. 16 people have been serving in this way over the last 12 months, and just want to thank them: Katie, Shirley and Grace, Rachel, Mary and Jeanette, Gavin, Sarah and Shona, Helen, Guy and Ruth, Marilyn, Ali Reza and Simone. And our thanks go especially to my wife Georgina for all her investment in leading and organising these two ministries. Why don't we give a round of applause to show our appreciation? As we just heard in the prayers, next weekend we're taking a group of 10, 11, 15-year-olds on a weekend away. Saturday at Thorpe Park for roller coasters, and Sunday at Woolhampton 2 Pathfind Adventure for a big day at camp, which they are billing as Christmas Day. Not quite sure what's going to happen. So please pray with us that the weekend will build up the young people in their faith and strengthen friendships with one another. Next Sunday, we look forward to Andy Jelf's preaching on the priorities of Jesus. And this will be followed by a church lunch in the John Owen Barn. Our thanks go to the Aldham Growth Group for organising this. Please let a member of the group know by this Tuesday if you would like to attend, so obviously so that they can make preparations for it. And contact details are on the notice sheet. I'll be away from next weekend, first on the All Saints Club weekend that I've just mentioned, and then on holiday for 3 weeks with my family. The church office will remain open during this time, and the care team can be contacted if you need help or someone to talk to, or you have a prayer request. The community hub remains open during August as well. And do think about joining the walking group, which meets monthly. The next time will be on the 27th of August, and will be combined with a bring your own picnic. Dennis Willits has taken the initiative to look to reform a church band from the beginning of September. Today and through August, our singing will be led by recordings. So please do contact him if you can serve in this way. Dennis is looking for lead singers, for guitarists, a drummer, and keyboard players. And orchestral instruments are welcome as well. Well, it's time to move to the churchyard for our final hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd. Please bring the notice sheet with you so that you have the song lyrics. Please stay in your seat until a steward invites you to leave. And we say farewell now to those of you watching online. Thanks for joining us, and may God bless your week.